1025, 1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, which today is Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. Predators in action tonight, hosting the Vancouver Canucks. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starting right here on 1025, The Game at 6 p.m. Joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst and new Ensworth head football coach, Tim Hasselbeck. Coach Hasselbeck, congratulations on the new gig.
Thank you. I'm getting used to people calling me coach. It's catching me off guard a little bit. I almost feel like if you knew me before, you call me Tim. But if it's just getting to know me now, like then it can be coach.
Can it be Coach Tim? Can we call you Coach Tim?
Hey, D-Mace, listen, you've seen me on those fields. So you can, as long as you're being nice, D-Mace, you can call me whatever you want.
All right, Tim, we just got news from Jeremy Fowler that Will Levis is suffering a high ankle sprain. D-Mace and I were talking about it earlier. Willie was talking about it at the break. A high ankle sprain. You know, Will Levis is not going to play on Sunday, and I think that it probably could be a fair assessment to say that he might be out for the season. But if you're Mike Vrabel, who's your quarterback moving forward? Do you run it back with Ryan Tannehill, or do you try Malik Willis?
No, you play Malik Willis. I mean, I just, you know, when you look at the contract situation for Ryan, Malik Willis is the player that you start and you see what he can do. And, look, maybe he makes the decision hard for you. Maybe he makes it easy for you. And maybe he puts himself in a position, you know, potentially over three games that, you know, he becomes somebody that, you know, maybe then has trade value. So I think that I actually think it's an easy decision because of that. And I think if you look around the league and you just look at all the various backup quarterbacks that have played this season, whether it's been Gardner Minshew, whether it's been the Cleveland situation on their fourth guy, whether it's been the Jets, what's happening in Cincinnati right now. It's really been a remarkable year in terms of the injuries at the quarterback position. And, you know, what that's meant is, some guys are probably playing themselves out of the league and some guys are playing themselves into the league. And that is kind of the beauty of, you know, when an opportunity knocks when you're in the National Football League.
I'm with you, Tim. D-Mace, Brett and I were talking about that. You know what you're getting with Ryan Tannehill, given the contract situation. Throw Malik Willis out there. I think the worst thing that can happen is you lose out. And then you have even more clarity on what you need to do moving forward at the quarterback position. But with that being said, I have to look at it from Mike Vrabel's point of view, that he's gotten up at the podium, told the fans, probably told ownership, look, we want to win. We'll at least give ourselves the best possible chance to win at least one of the next three games, if not two, if not all three of the rest of these games. They want to win football games. So I do have to look at it from Mike Vrabel's perspective of if you run out with Malik Willis, is that really doing everything in your power to win football games?
Listen, I think it is. And I think, you know, the distinction could end up being that, listen, we're trying to win football games. And I don't know the exact quote from Coach Vrabel on it, but did he say we're trying to win every single football game for the next 3 weeks, or we're doing everything we can to win as many football games as we can for the Tennessee Titans? You know, because maybe the best thing to do to help you win football games in 2024, 2025 is to evaluate the other quarterback. So I think sometimes when you get to the podium and you say that, while it's true, you know, there are also some other details of that statement to say, yeah, that. And then also I would just say this, and look, not to say that, it's exactly the same for each guy, but part of it would be, look, maybe we think that Malik helps us get the run game going a little bit because some of the design stuff that we're willing to do with him, and we're making the assessment right now that might be better than Ryan's experience. So I think that there's a way to explain it to the fan base that is legitimate and fair and truthful.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck's new Innsworth head football coach. So we're going to call you Coach Tim from now on. can we still, you know, put the title as ESPN analyst as well? Or are we shading away from that a little bit, Tim?
Hey, listen, I know I'm going to be busy as head coach. I'm going to finish my responsibilities this year, and you know we'll see where it goes. You know, after that, but I will not be. I'm calling two bowl games. Calling the Gasparilla Bowl later this week, Georgia Tech UCF. Calling the Gator Bowl later, the Clemson Tigers against Kentucky. So calling that one, and then calling college football games. Trading that career for coaching high school football here in Nashville. So I'm pumped about that.
Well, that's great, and congratulations once again. You started to talk like a coach because you wouldn't give us a full answer. You were like, but that's – hey, you start off on the right note.
You're getting good at this,
yeah, you're getting good at
hey, no, listen, the details of what Coach Vrabel is, you know, saying. Like, we got to pay attention to every single thing. Hey, we're going to try to win as many games as we can. We're just – setting ourselves up this year to win them next year.
Got to coach better, got to play better.
Exactly. Tim, you know, we've been discussing this whole situation with the Titans and what do they do at quarterback. I think we are, you know, we're leaning toward more of Malik Willis playing. But is this a time you believe also that, because like I told Caroline, this is a time where you either – exclamation mark on guys you're going to keep, question marks, and then flat out X marks. That's why I wanted them, or I think they should play Malik Willis, because you got to find out, even if he can be a backup in this league. So he needs to be one of those guys right now is a question mark. You need to know by the end of the season whether he's the question mark that turned into an exclamation mark, meaning he's going to be on our team, or he's a question mark that turns into an X, like we got to get another backup.
Yeah, and D-Mace, you were on a lot of good teams, so I'm not remembering if you experienced this, but like there is an element, and I was on some bad teams, and on the bad teams, it was when you get to these points. Look, there are guys that were Pro Bowl players that were like, no, I'm not coming off the field. Like I have a lot to play for. Whether it's it's just my desire for what I'm what I'm trying to achieve. Like don't rest me because I've got a broken bone in my hand and I'm a Pro Bowl player. Like this still matters to me. So like there's that element. There's the element of the guy who you're describing. Hey, I'm trying to prove that I can play, and you guys need to find out if I can play. You know, there's that player. And then there are players that it makes sense to shut them down. And that doesn't mean you're quitting on the season. Like I don't think Aaron Rodgers is quitting on the season by not trying to come back and play these last three games, even though they're not going to make it to the postseason. Like, I think he's probably making a good decision for the organization by not playing and then being more prepared to play next season. So, yeah, there's a dynamic with all of that that is unique to each player, each situation, each organization. And I think as we look at what preseasons look like and being shortened and playing multiple guys, this is a way better opportunity to find out if a young quarterback can play than abbreviated stints in the preseason with a lot of guys that aren't going to make your roster, playing against the guys that aren't going to make your roster. This is a way better environment to evaluate a quarterback.
Now, Tim, I'm going to ask you some outside of the Titans because I know Willie's going to get back to the Titans. But it seems like after the Kansas City game and the offsides that was called on Kansas City, you're starting to see it a little bit more. It seemed like the league is putting an emphasis on it. I mean, we had one this prior weekend here in Nashville, and offsides on the offense. You had it in other games where it's been offsides on the offense. This is where coaches need, especially teams that are in the playoff hunt, this is where they need to really emphasize, hey, make sure, because even on television I saw some guys that were close to the line almost breaking the line of scrimmage, but they didn't call anything. But I'm thinking in my mind now, like, man, you're very close and that one play can cost you a game.
Hey, it also reminded me of this a little bit, like, look, you guys have the microphone for the whole show, right? It also reminded me a little bit like hey, like Andy Reid, who you guys know I love. I think he's the best. You know, Patrick Mahomes, the face of the league. Like, hey, be careful which tree you're barking up, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, the league's got the ability to say, all right, we're not making a point of emphasis offensive offsides. Hey, you know, people talking about the brotherly shove in Philadelphia, like Jason Kelce, like, be careful moving that ball forward. Like, we can make life real miserable for you. So, yeah, but there are always points of emphasis. And there, I think, is probably the proper way to, you know, handle the various issues with the league and with officiating. And, look, I looked at Kansas City's reaction to what happened the other night when Kadarius Toney was clearly lined up offsides. They went after the league. So the league fined him. They obviously got with the officials and said, look, don't be generous with this stuff. It caught other people this week. And that's why I think that when you, like, for example, you say, like, you know, you get into postseason and these things matter in detail. I think how you communicate with the officials and the attention to detail of that really matters.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, you had to appreciate, you know, even if you have no connection at all to the Seahawks, the moment for Drew Lock last night. Oh. And who knows? Maybe he'll be here on Sunday. We'll see if he gets the nod or if Geno Smith's ready to go. But what a great moment for him. And it was just a real emotional outpouring after the game. I got a chance to see his interview, and I know a lot of people did. It was circulating around on social media this morning, too. But that's a great moment for him.
You know, I know that it's easy for all of us to, you know, watch games, watch a quarterback, especially a backup quarterback, gets in the game and it looks ugly and it's, you know, it doesn't look like when Josh Allen or, you know, Drew Brees or how Brock Purdy's playing and all that stuff. It's easy to be super critical, but it's a really hard position. You know, some guys get more opportunities than others. When you get an opportunity and it doesn't work out, I know for a fact for every guy, there's doubt that creeps into your head wondering, will I ever get another shot? Will I ever get another chance? Because sometimes, you know, your chance comes, you know, because of the misfortune of somebody else. And, you know, that's a bad way to go about life, you know, waiting for the guy in front of you to get injured. And so to get an opportunity when you know, not sure if you're ever going to get one again, and then deliver against, you know, in some people's mind, you know, I mean, easily one of the three best teams in the NFC on Monday Night Football, like, that's a special moment that you really should cherish. And, you know, I thought everyone, you know, in terms of the interview and all of that, did a great job.
What are your thoughts? You mentioned Josh Allen a little bit earlier, and, you know, it's not like he had an unbelievable individual game, but they just clocked the Cowboys, who are looking really good. And the Cowboys seem to have a hiccup like once a month where they don't play well, but the Bills seem to be sort of embracing this. We've got this impossible string of teams we've got to beat, but they're starting to get it together, it seems like.
Yeah, it does seem like it. And I don't know how you guys feel, but when I watch the Bills, like, I look at them, like, when they played the Kansas City Chiefs, I thought, I mean, they're just as good as them, right? Like, it's not, like, I know their record isn't what the Chiefs' record is, but, like, they can play with them. There's no question about that. Or when I watch them play Dallas, you know, clearly, it's like, they can play with them. So, and then I think what happened in that game, you know, they're bad conditions. Dallas certainly has been way better at home. Their speed really shows up in their stadium. You get in other conditions that, you know, that doesn't necessarily show up as much. And then how Dallas plays, they play really small at times. I did a breakdown on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt on this. They play with a guy named Marquise Bell playing middle linebacker, wears number 14. He's 205 pounds playing Mike linebacker. And I don't know if it was injury or otherwise, but they got caught with him in there a lot. And in Buffalo, a team that really is not patient running the football, called 39 runs for their running backs.
That would have been unthinkable last year, right?
No, last year, this year, I mean, honestly, the last 4 years. So the idea that they called 39 running back runs, and then Josh Allen ran some too, that to me showed, hey, we found something, and we are going to keep hammering this nail. And it worked. And, you know, there's, if you go back and watch some of that game, you know, you have offensive linemen covering up a 205-pound safety slash linebacker, and it's why James Cook was averaging over 7 yards per carry.
Another interesting quarterback story that I know D-Mace is following very closely is Joe Flacco. And what a renaissance he's going through. I was eyeing that score as we were watching the Titans game. You're like, wow, 17-7 against the Bears. Bears are playing a little better. Man, this doesn't look good. And they've got all of those guys out on the offensive line. But just finding a way, that's another great story right now.
It's an amazing story, and that was an incredible game because Flacco, for three quarters, was terrible. But the defense for Cleveland is so good. That is a championship defense. They have playmakers. They're well coached, obviously. They were keeping them in the game. And I think the interesting thing about Cleveland, and I guess I probably should say the really dangerous thing about Cleveland, is you got a championship caliber defense. You've got a really good running back. You've got excellent talent in general around the quarterback. You've got a good offensive coach. And then you have a quarterback that has weathered a lot of storms, won a Super Bowl. And, you know, he has the ability, you know, to be bad for three quarters, but hey, I'm able to wipe that off, you know, the slate. I'm able, you know, that's water off a duck's back, and here I go playing, and I'm going to play good football for a quarter when we need it the most. Like, that's exactly what happened. So you just start to add the things up. The coaches, got them. A championship defense, got it. Experienced quarterback that's won a Super Bowl, got him. And, you know, with Flacco, he's always had a huge arm, and even at 38 years old, like, that hasn't left him. So, look, that's, to me, is a super dangerous 9-win football team right now.
Yeah, they are. I said to the gang here, I said that Joe Flacco, to me, I think he gives them a better opportunity to win than even Watson does at this point, because he sort of fits who they are mm-hmm. as a team. Like, he fits what the defense is. He's, like you said, he's been through it. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been a Super Bowl MVP. So, yeah, he may play bad in stretches, but he has that you know, championship, you know, pedigree in him that he understands and knows what it takes to win, especially in cold weather games.
Yeah, cold weather games, and you have a great defense. So it's like, you know what? Like, I mean, but I got a chance. We might get it back again. I mean, and that's really what happened in the game. I mean, he had some opportunities. He kind of, you know, let him get away, but it was like, nope. But here comes the defense. They just got you a stop and got you the ball back. And I think if you can play with an awareness like that, which it feels like, you know, he has, and D-Mace, you could speak to it better than anybody in terms of just arm strength and ability. And so, like, there is still a lot in the tank there. And look, I actually think that he's done a great job of creating. You know, they ran a gadget play in the fourth quarter that they didn't block correctly. And he did an amazing job of turning what should have been a 7-yard loss on a sack to, you know, a 12-yard gain just out of just kind of playmaking ability and awareness. So I think they're dangerous for every single team in the AFC.
You're right about that. So when does the offseason program start, Coach Tim?
Hey, listen, we are on Christmas break. Oh, I did see a bunch of guys playing basketball last night, which was a lot of fun. But Return to school on January 3rd, man, and you know, I think I'm excited to see kids compete in basketball, baseball, and you know this, D-Mace, you know that community. We've been a part of it for 8 years. I'm really excited to have an opportunity to coach. Honestly, feel honored to have the opportunity. I think it's going to be great for me, my entire family, hopefully the whole community, and And I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to do it. And I'm not expecting you to be a stranger either.
Okay? No, I won't. You know that. Hey, tell those football guys that's playing basketball. I know they're great athletes, but don't be doing no windmills. We need you for the football season, okay?
Come on, the crowd. Give the crowd what they want, D.A. So windmill, there's Dominique Wilkins. Come on.
Don't want no alley oops. Don't want nothing.
I never had any trouble, you know, being told not to do windmill.
Just wrap them up and bubble wrap until August and hope for the best. You're excited for the opportunity. I know we all here are excited to see what you do in that role. But last one from me, Tim. It's been a difficult conundrum here in Nashville. Titans out of the playoffs. There's one portion of the fan base that's like, look, you know what? Just get better draft pick. Do whatever you can to get a better draft pick. What's maybe your message to the fans that do feel that way, that, hey, the rest of the season is kind of a wash?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about that is, you know, there could be a front office decision of like, hey, we're okay if we lose these games because of what that does for the draft pick. And so I think the fan base can be aligned with that. But the flip side of it is that every time you step onto the field as a pro football player, like, you're putting that on your resume. Like, that's your resume. That's your bio. And, you know, your career may take you, you know, places with the Titans, but may take you elsewhere as well. And so the guys that go onto the field, you know, on game day in the National Football League, and the coaches that are coaching it, they're trying to win. You have to. Like, that's what you are putting out there in terms of, like, who you are as a pro. And so, you know, I don't believe that there ever can be something where, like, top to bottom in the organization, a decision that's being made that everybody is absolutely on board with in terms of, we're not trying to win. There are always going to be too many people in the building that are trying to win and trying to, you know, play their best and coach their best. So, you know, I understand why fans feel that way. I understand why front offices can feel like they try to set situations up to make that happen. But ultimately, I think that you always want to see great fight from the guys that put on that uniform and play on game day.
Absolutely. Tim Hasselbeck, appreciate your time. So excited for this new adventure for you and your family and for the Ensworth football program. We will chat with you soon.
Thanks. This is what I can say. Go Tigers, right? That's what, yes, I say it now. Right?
You have to say it right, Tim, though. Go Tigers. There's no R in that mascot.
Appreciate you, guys.
You, Tim.
I appreciate it.
Have a good one. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and new Ensworth head football coach. React to what Tim had to say there. Plus, an update on where a now former Titan is headed. What we think about it, we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.